Hey, this is Paul Thompson, former Oklahoma Sooner quarterback, 2006 Big 12 champion, and you're listening to the Locked On Sooner podcast.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us for the Tuesday edition. I am John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me, as he always does, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman, David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. David, how are we doing, sir?
Doing great, John. Just getting into this new normal with the new baby brought him home today. So we're making it work and excited to be talking some OU football. And really excited to bring on a new guest this week. We've got from Sports Talk 1400 there, Norman, co-host of The Rush with Teddy Lehman. We have Tyler McComas. Tyler, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm great. I don't think that people on the podcast can see David's background right now, but he's got a really cool lion up there in the baby's room up there. I think it's the baby's room. Maybe it's just David's room, and he just has a bunk bed in there. I don't know. But hey, congratulations. Seriously, man.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that, man. It's been a crazy year to be pregnant in a pandemic, but we navigated it safely and all good on the other side now. So, but Tyler, we wanted to bring you on. You know, certainly you have your finger on the pulse of Oklahoma football, doing a weekly radio show, doing the post game. You take all the phone calls from the angry fans and the excited fans, and you get all things in between. So I wanted to touch base with you today. We're at the halfway point of the season and assessing Oklahoma, you know, five games in. What's your general thoughts right now about the state of the program?
I mean, my thoughts are different now than they have been at any point in the season. I mean, you asked me a week ago that coming off the Texas game, I say, well, this team still has a lot of issues. They are not great on the offensive line. They don't have a clear-cut go-to guy at wide receiver. The running back situation still isn't figured out, and Spencer Rattler turns the ball over too much, and defensively, they aren't capable up to this point of – you know, putting together four consecutive quarters of good football. And then they go down to Fort Worth and they do all those things. The offensive line has their best game of the year. Marvin Mims emerges as maybe the best wide receiver on this team. TJ Pledger puts together back-to-back games. Spencer Rattler has an entire game with no turnovers. The OU defense plays well. So where I'm at now is a completely different point than any other point this season. And now I hear, here I am like really optimistic about this team. Because the past tells me at this point in the year, this team is about to go and play their best football. This is the part of the year, this is the part of the schedule where this team hits and the offensive line gels and the passing game flourishes and the running game's there and maybe the defense comes together. So again, you guys had me on a week ago. It's a much more negative kind of thought on things. But here I am today thinking, guys, like, I think that they can realistically, very realistically, run the rest of the schedule.
And so speaking specifically about the offense, where have you seen some of the growth take place from just a few games ago to the Texas game and then to TCU? What's changed about this offense?
Well, David can talk on this probably better than I can, and they're not there yet. They're not there yet, but they're a whole lot better than they were when they went and played Iowa State, and that's the offensive line. They're run blocking better. They're pass blocking better. I mean, OU isn't like anybody else. Once they've got the run game going, once they're pass protecting well, you're seeing what this offense can do. You're seeing this offense take it to another level. So the biggest thing for me is just this offensive line, you know, playing better football. It's caused the receivers to, I mean, it causes the entire offense to perform at another level. They're not operating in so many third and longs. They're not having as much of a trouble running the football. David, it's just crazy the things that can be fixed when you can just dominate up front, man. If you can run the football, it solves everything else.
Yeah, Tyler, and you're right. And when you look at this Oklahoma program for the last several years, yes, there's been Heisman U, quarterback U, all of those things, but lost in all of that to, you know, to a lot of fans, not everybody, but lost in that is how great the offensive line play has been. So I think when you go to Ames, Iowa, and you go drive down the opening drive and you go kick a field goal on the 1 yard line, that's a different kind of offensive line a few weeks ago, like you're talking about, than what we just saw in Fort Worth. And I feel like it kind of turned on a dime going back to the Texas game, the opening possession of that game, we had a bad snap by Creed Humphrey, followed by a penalty. And all of a sudden, like right out of the gate, we're two major negatives in the first drive in the Cotton Bowl. And almost from that, after that series, they progressively got better throughout that game, four overtimes, and then followed by Fort Worth. So it was almost like you could pinpoint after the first series of Texas, they started to get their act together. And I think that's a huge development going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that opening drive of the Texas game was awful. It was just like, God, they had two penalties up front of the offensive line. Buki has that near targeting penalty on the punt return. And then Keontae Ingram fumbles there. And then all of a sudden, here comes the offense. Like you're saying, here comes the offensive line. I think that next drive, like they ran it all the way down the field with TJ Pledger. And TJ Pledger up to that point had like his best drive as an OU running back. So I think that that's interesting. And I think that's right, that you can pinpoint maybe where this season turned for this O-line. And yeah, man, Lincoln got a whole lot of criticism for kicking it from fourth and goal at the one. But guys, if that situation would have happened last week, and if that situation again happens moving forward, I think that they're going for it in that spot. Just because I think Lincoln Riley has so much more faith in his offensive line now than he did when they were in Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, it's definitely turned a lot, and the offense has been more efficient, they've been more productive, and they've been more physical, like you've talked about on the offensive line. TJ Pledger in particular, I feel like, has been a much more physical back the last couple of weeks. But let's flip the switch a little bit and get some of your thoughts on the defense. They've played a couple really good games the last couple of weeks. Now, the fourth quarter against Texas, overtime period wasn't great. Definitely some mental letdowns, letting Sam Ehlinger get a little bit too free on some runs. But what has this team done over, say, the last game and then three quarters against Texas that kind of has, I don't know, are they a defense that looks like they're turning the corner and actually starting to gain some momentum to be one of the top defenses in the Big 12 and maybe in the country?
Their last two games against Texas and TCU, in regulation, that's 120 total minutes. And I can say with you guys, truthfully and with a straight face, I believe this defense in its last two games in regulation, the past 120 minutes that it's played 116 minutes of really good football.
Yeah.
Okay. And did any of us think that that was going to happen after the Iowa State debacle that happened? Absolutely not. They're getting Texas to turn the ball over. And say what you want about Sam Ehlinger, but the guy doesn't turn the ball over. And they got that Texas offense to turn the ball over. And no, they didn't create turnovers against TCU. But that was almost like adds to how impressive I thought their defense was last week against TCU. They hold them to 14 points. One was a garbage touchdown late. And they did all that impressive defensive work without getting any turnovers last week. You know, I mean, Max Duggan was not a factor at all in the running game. And that's all we talked about for the week leading up to the game. It's, look, this is going to be very much a mirror image of what Kansas State and Texas tried to do to you. You struggled with the QB run game with Skylar Thompson at Kansas State, and you struggled at times with the quarterback run game against Sam Ehlinger. How are you going to slow down Max Duggan? And guys, I'm watching that game, and in the fourth quarter, Max Duggan gets loose for like a 30-yard gain, and I say, oh my God, that's right. Max Duggan runs the football. He hasn't all game long because OU shut it down. But what a miraculous job that they have to, and I don't know what TCU's plan offensively was in that game, but give OU's defense credit, because if they're doing one thing defensively right now, guys, they are getting pressure. That defensive line, and I mean, maybe they don't have the frontline guy. Actually, I think that they do with the way that Perrion Winfrey's played. Mm-hmm. But they've got four or five guys right now that are playing pretty good football. And it's able to mask the deficiencies they've had at corner, they have at safety, and maybe even at linebacker. If you're good up front on the D-line, it can mask a lot of other weaknesses that you have on your defense. And that group is playing at a high, high level right now.
Yeah, it absolutely can. Now, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I can certainly attest to how bad a defensive line can expose the rest of your defense. When everything else is bad, if your defensive line is bad, it just – everything else shows up. But when your defensive line is good, like it's been for Oklahoma, then, like you said, it covers up quite a few things. But they've been excellent. And I think the thing that was so good about the way they played Max Duggan is how disciplined they were, because TCU was trying to run him on some designed runs. He was trying to run free on some scrambles, but they were very disciplined in their gaps. They played really sound defensive football. And so I think this is a defense that is turning the corner. Now, do you foresee them making any kind of changes moving forward? Anything that we can see on the defensive side where they might shake up some more personnel?
So when you say personnel changes, I think listeners, the first name that pops in their head is Ronnie Perkins. I don't think Ronnie Perkins is going to play this week at Texas Tech, guys. And I'm telling you this, and I actually feel extremely confident about that. Wink, 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 that he's not playing this weekend at Texas Tech. Is he going to play again at all this year? I don't feel super great about that. So what are the other personnel changes that could happen outside of Ronnie Perkins? Well, clearly he's the big one. We're seeing that Woody Washington is getting more and more time at corner. I like that. I think he got a PI call on Saturday, but clearly he needs to continue to be in the rotation. I'm still hoping to see more of Jeremiah Crudell. I'm hoping to see more of those guys at Buki's spot, but I mean, obviously Buki's the guy that they feel the best at that position. I would try other options there, and they have at some points this year. But I think that this defense right now, they kind of are what they are, which isn't a bad thing. I don't think that you're going to see a whole lot more personnel changes moving as we go along. I think for the most part that they're pretty set defensively on where they're at.
Yeah, we've been pretty pessimistic about the idea of Ronnie Perkins coming back either, just because Lincoln Riley has not been interested in making any kind of a declaration or comment on Ronnie Perkins in particular. And you mentioned, you know, Brendan Riley Hiles, and we're going to talk about him a little bit in the next segment, because there's some things still going on with him that I don't know. You'd like to see some smarter football out of him at times, but we can get into that more in the next segment. And I think I completely agree with you on Woody Washington. He's really showing out over the last couple of games, and pass interference calls are going to happen, especially when you've got an aggressive corner. And so sure, you can kind of let some of those things slide, but overall his play has been absolutely spectacular. And we're going to come back here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. We're continuing to talk with Tyler McComas from Sports Talk 1400 in Norman, the Oklahoma Sooners flagship station for baseball. So make sure you come back and check us out. But first, I want to tell you about RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much by going to a storefront auto parts store when you can go to RockAuto.com and save? So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. And now let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? Well, College Football Saturdays offer the perfect opportunity to watch football and chill with the only beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Even though there are fewer teams playing on Saturdays, there are still plenty of games and other sports going on to give you the opportunity to relax and have a beer. So whether you're having a beer with friends, cooking some meat on the grill, winding down from working in the yard, I know right now my yard's got tons of leaves in it, or watching a full slate of college football games on Saturday, make sure you reach for the official beer of watching any sport or any team just to have a beer. So when you want to reset from a long work day or to enjoy while taking in your favorite team, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You can now get Coors Light in its new look delivered straight to your door by going to get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And we are back here on Locked On Sooners with Tyler McComas, co-host of The Rush on Sports Talk 1400 there in Norman. And Tyler, as we go into segment two, we touched on it briefly at the end of seg one, but there is a kind of a polarizing presence in the secondary in Brendan Radley Hiles. And one of the things that I think Sooner Nation has felt for a few years was this juxtaposition of excitement of a five-star safety from California choosing the Sooners. And he, you know, came in with a lot of hype, a lot of personality, a lot of flair, a fantastic haircut, and a really cool nickname, and was instantly a marketable player for recruitment, for the defensive philosophy, for, you know, their PR department. I mean, it was all of it was set up right there to me on a silver platter. That you got this, you know, this guy is California cool. He's got all the accolades. And I think everything that's happened since he's got on campus has been a gradual progression of waiting for it to click, hoping things were going to change. And I think now you're in year three, you see a junior that, you know, like John said, a pass interference or two here and there, that's going to happen. But I think the thing that fans are the most frustrated with when we see it on our Twitter pages, in Facebook pages, on the radio shows, is the lack of discipline and the unsportsmanlike penalties and the trash talk after a positive play by the other team and just different things like that. Like, what is your take on the Brendan Radley-Hile situation? And is it something that the coaching staff is losing patience with, or are they just going to stick to their guns and continue to try him out there in that spot?
So the Buki story is fascinating. And to kind of tell it all, we need to start at the beginning. So let's start here. Now, before he ever played a game on campus, there is a luncheon that happens every single year at Journey Church in Norman. And basically, it's there to raise money for, you know, local charities, things like that. But some of the coaching staff shows up there. Lincoln Riley, Mike Stoops, this is the year that I'm talking about, going into, what, the 2018 season. Kel Gundy was there. And Mike Stoops stood on stage and compared Buki Radley-Hiles to Roy Williams. And my immediate thought was, wow, that's super unfair to this kid, okay? And David, everything you said is right. He's a five-star kid. There hasn't been an OU recruit in a while, I feel like, outside the two quarterbacks they've had, of course, that have come in with more hype. I mean, the kid already had a nickname before he got here, and everybody knew it. So there was already a lot of attention on a five-star safety, five-star DB coming in. And then Mike Stoops is standing on stage to everybody, comparing this guy to one of the best defensive players that's ever played at OU, Roy Williams. And not only is he saying it, other assistant coaches are playing well. So before he ever played a down at OU, there is already unrealistic expectations with the fan base. Why? We didn't create that. Because the coaching staff compared him to a guy that is among one of the probably five best players to ever play defense at the University of Oklahoma. Well, he's undersized. He is very prone to matchup issues, as we've seen. And clearly, he hasn't lived up to the five-star billing. Now, he didn't give himself that five-star rating. Rivals did, okay? But regardless if that's fair or not, he has not lived up to the potential that we all thought when he was here. So in that aspect right there, I feel sorry for Buki. I really do. It hasn't worked out for him up to this point. And when this new defensive staff arrived, they were looking to get a totally different type of player than him from day one, basically. They said, we don't want players like Brendan Radley-Hiles who are small and undersized. So again, in that aspect, I feel sorry for Buki. And I think he's got an unfair shake of things because there was too much unrealistic hype before he ever played it down. But, and this was never more clear than it was Saturday against TCU, the guy will make contact with somebody, throw him 4 yards up the field, and get up and start talking trash to the guy, right? So Buki's not doing himself any favors with the fan base because he's talking trash, he's not making plays, and when he does make a play, he's celebrating like, I don't know, he just won the Super Bowl or something like that. He is dying to be a highlight reel guy, and it's kind of the microcosm of maybe what's not good with this program right now is it's all about flash and it's all about show, and there's not a whole lot of substance to it. So Buki is what he is, guys. I mean, he's not – what the product that you're seeing on the field as a junior is not going to change next year as a senior. And it's not going to change even if he's back in 2022. He is what he is. The defensive staff is trying to get players better and bigger than Buki Radley-Hiles. But for now, he is what he is. And the fascination with the fan base, is it going to stop? And how much he drives Sooner fans crazy is not going to stop. I mean, you're just going to have to live with him because until they find somebody better at his position, which they haven't up to this point, he is going to continue to play a lot of meaningful snaps. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, John and I talked about this when Lincoln benched Spencer in the Texas game. I think that sent a huge message to the offense and really to the whole team that if they're willing to bench him, that he would do it to anybody. And if you look at Spencer's struggles that are freshman mistakes versus the perpetual unsportsmanlike personal foul, lack of discipline things from a junior, I think that's where I'm curious to see, because it looked like, and maybe it was coincidence, but it looked like after one of his issues on Saturday, Criddell came in the game and, you know, Buki's on the sideline for a little while. Could have been a natural rotation, but it seemed to be there was something there. Do you feel like there's going to come a point where they say, look, we've given 3 years of this. We need to see what's behind it and make a change there in an actual benching that either one gets his attention or sends a message to the rest of the secondary, similar to what they did with Rattler.
I mean, yeah, I guess that would have happened at some point earlier this year, right? Like,
sure.
Why will that happen in two games, and why didn't it happen two games ago when, you know, they're struggling at Iowa State and you needed a different answer there? Like, Buki had probably his worst moment of his career in Ames, Iowa, when he's matched up on Charlie Kohler and they're just basically just throwing jump balls up to him in the end zone. Like, I agree with you. Like, I would have done this a long time ago. I wouldn't have continually put him on an island with Charlie Kohler and ask him to go make plays there. So I don't want to say that I'm like hopeful or anything that would happen. I don't think any of us wish bad on the kid, but at some point, yeah, you've got to figure out what else you have behind him and at least throw Jeremiah Criddell in a situation where you give him an opportunity to make more plays and give him a larger role, because there's big wide receivers in the Big 12, guys, and it's already hurt you a couple times. It's bound to hurt you again if you keep putting Buki in situations where he cannot make a play against 6'3", 6'4", wide receivers.
And I guess the thing that I do like about him, to maybe end this segment on a positive note, is that he does play with a little bit of an edge. And at times you do need some nasty on your defense. Now, he takes it a little bit too far and to a bit of an extreme at times. And that's where we run into troubles with the unsportsmanlike conducts and maybe getting a little too fired up over a 4-yard gain. But, you know, at least he does kind of bring some edge to his game. Now, again, hopefully he can at some point kind of bring some discipline to his game as well and have a little bit of balance to that, because he does, you know, he can make plays for you at times. We've seen it in his career. It's just there are times when he's a bit of a mismatch and maybe he plays a little too aggressively and plays outside of himself and just whiffs on some tackles. And so I think it's a kind of that double-edged sword. When you play with as much edge and as much kind of, I don't know, intensity as he plays with, sometimes it gets you into trouble, but it can be a benefit to your team as well. And we're going to continue talking about the Oklahoma Sooners here coming up with Tyler McComas. And after the last 2 weeks, things are looking up, and we've got a team that potentially could make a run and maybe work themselves back into the Big 12 title picture. We'll get Tyler's thoughts on that coming up next. Hey, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are here with Tyler McComas. We're also here again with David Walker. Make sure you go and follow them on Twitter. And Tyler, give us your thoughts on Oklahoma now. They got 5 more games left in Big 12 play. What can they do over the rest of the season? Can they work themselves back into the Big 12 title picture?
Not only can they work themselves back in the Big 12 title picture, I expect them to work their way inside the Big 12 title picture, because you look at things now, and I think that they're about to play their best football of the year. I really feel confident that that's going to happen. And the schedule really softens up. Like, all you're asking OU to do right now is beat the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th best team in the Big 12, plus their in-state rival, Oklahoma State. Now, beating 7 through 10 in this league seems pretty manageable, pretty doable, and if this team is headed on the right track, they're going to handle all 4 of those teams. The question is, can they beat Oklahoma State at home? I say absolutely they can, because I think that they're still more talented than Oklahoma State, and we still know the track record of OSU in Bedlam games, especially when the stakes are high. You look at recent history, you look at the longevity of this rivalry, Oklahoma State does not play well against OU when there's a whole lot on the line in this rivalry. So, I mean, if I was betting right now, guys, I would say that they would win out the remaining 5 games. The question is, can they get enough help along the way to make it back to Arlington? It's a lot more complicated now since Iowa State lost to Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State would have just lost, then you could beat them. You'd have the tiebreaker over them. You could hope Kansas State only loses two games, and hopefully in a tiebreaker scenario with you, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State, you could have won that tiebreaker, and you could have went on to Arlington. Now it gets a little bit more tricky. You need Oklahoma State to lose somewhere other than to you. You may need Kansas State to lose three times. You need Iowa State to lose a couple more times. So I'm confident, okay, and maybe I'm too overconfident on OU right now, but I think that they're going to win their last five. But you really got to root for Texas right now. You got to root for Texas to beat OSU. You got to root for Texas to beat Iowa State. You got to root for Texas to beat Kansas State. So I know it's your biggest rival. I know it's hilarious to see them falter and fail, but you need Texas to get a couple upsets against those teams in at least two of those three games down the stretch.
Yeah, and Sooner fans, let's think about the greater good when you're pulling for Texas, because the greater good is extending Tom Herman. All right, so right. We want that run to be made. It helps us get to Arlington. It extends Tom Herman. It keeps Urban Meyer in a studio somewhere. It's a beautiful thing. One thing, Tyler, that I have found as a Sooners fan, just follow the team for years, is now that they're not in the college football playoff picture, I think for the fan base, they should really enjoy and relish this season for what it is, that it is a survive and advance type of season. You don't have to worry about style points. You don't have to worry about trying to beat somebody convincingly. It's just more about improvement and winning football games. And for so many years around here, there's always been this feeling of, well, we won, but we gave up 38 points and Herb Street's going to kill us because of our defense. And you'd almost feel like you lost when you won. Sure. But in this particular season, there's a little bit of a breath of fresh air to me that you have a young team. You can watch them on an upward trajectory to continue to do what they've done for the last few years, play their best football in November. Championship November is going to be right there for them to run that table again. And, the parallel now is they're trying to work themselves into that 2 seed in the Big 12 instead of the 4 seed in the college football playoff. But, yeah, I'm like you. I foresee them winning out. I think the bigger question is, do they get the help they need to get to Arlington? But I think that the Big 12 is going to make that happen, because I think there's just something there that there's not two teams yet that are ready to take it away from Oklahoma where they don't get a chance to defend it. And so I think, to me, that's their ceiling. But what do you see their ceiling as far as, this week they're ranked number 24. And I know Sooner fans don't like seeing us out of the top 25, so at least we're back in the top 25. But if they were to win out, win the Big 12, what is the ceiling of this team? Are they a top 10 team, a top 8 team? What do you foresee their ceiling being as far as finishing that year?
I think their ceiling is a top 10 team. I think that their ceiling is winning the Big 12 again and winning a New Year's Six bowl game. Like, maybe somehow, if they come back and win the conference, the best thing for OU is to not make the playoff and to beat somebody in a New Year's Six bowl game. Because, like it, love it, hate it, the committee has a certain perception of OU. At some point, they're going to say, and they tried to do it last year, but they had no choice. It was, we're tired of seeing the same song and dance. We're tired of putting Oklahoma in the playoff, and we're tired of seeing them getting blown out in the first round. So they make it this year somehow, and they get blown out again. That hurts them for 2021, which I think is really their year to get over the hump. I'm going to like the 2021 and the 2022 Sooners a whole heck of a lot more than I like the 2020 Sooners. So I'm almost willing to miss out on this year's playoff and maybe have a rerun at it, a re-rack at it at 21 and 22, and get back there and have a better chance to compete in that game. So what's the ceiling for this year's team? I definitely think it's a top 10 football team at the end of the year. I don't think it's a top 4 team, and clearly I don't think that it's a team that could get to a semifinal game and compete with Clemson, Alabama, or Ohio State. They're not there yet. But I think that they could be there in 2021. I think the best thing now is to get to that New Year's Six bowl game, finally win a bowl game, and beat somebody of prestige, So hopefully they're not playing a BYU. Hopefully they're not playing a Cincinnati or somebody like that. Hopefully they're playing a Florida. Hopefully they're playing a Georgia. Even an Oregon, somebody like that, somebody that's got some name prestige nationally, and OU can beat somebody on the big stage. I mean, the last head coach to win a bowl game is Bob Stoops. You think about that, guys. It's time that this team wins a bowl game, and it'd be nice if they could do it in a New Year's Six one.
And they've definitely got a talented team enough to get back into the Big 12 title picture, New Year's Six bowl games. And it is encouraging to hear that maybe they aren't as far away as maybe it looked a couple of weeks ago, that this team could be potentially contending again back in 2021. Do you think that we're going to see Spencer Rattler continue to make strides and be able to lead this team in 2021? Now, a lot of people are excited about Caleb Williams coming in. Do you think that Caleb Williams is going to have any kind of shot at supplanting Spencer Rattler in 2021?
I mean, he'll have a shot, but he's just going to have to be the best quarterback prospect that has ever arrived in Norman, Oklahoma, because I expect the rest of the way for Rattler to play really, really, really good football. I think that he is going to continue to progress, and I think the area that you're going to see him progress the most is decision-making, because he's got the natural ability, guys. He's got the natural arm strength. He's got the accuracy. If he can just improve on his decision-making and cut down on turnovers, you're going to see a kid that really, really ups his play and takes it to the next level. But for all of the criticism that has been there on Spencer Rattler, I say to everybody, like, well, hold on here. Because the other three guys before him, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield, for the most part, they all had all elite offensive lines. For the most part, they had first-round wide receiver talent. Kyler Murray had two first-round wide receivers on his team. Baker Mayfield had legit wide receivers and the best tight end in all of America, and Mark Andrews, and what we're seeing he's doing right now in the NFL. Like, compared to those guys, what they had around him, what does Rattler have? He has an offensive line that's trying to find its way. He has a wide receiver core where a true freshman is the best player in that group. He has a running back core where, no disrespect to Seth McGowan or TJ Pledger, but that ain't Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon back there.
Right.
So yeah, Spencer Rattler's going to continue to progress. But watch this kid when he has the surrounding talent that Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts had around him as well. And I think he's going to be a lot closer to that in 2021.
Yeah, it's really exciting things happening for the Oklahoma Sooners football team, not just in 2020, but down the road as well, especially with the news that Caleb Williams has moved to Norman already, getting a jump start on his future Sooner football career. And Tyler, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We very much appreciate having you here. Great insight for the Locked On Sooners podcast listeners. And make sure you go and follow Tyler on Twitter. That's at Tyler_McComas. And you can hear him daily out of Norman on Sports Talk 1400 on The Rush with Teddy Lehman. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime, guys.
And that's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Go follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners and on Facebook at Locked On Sooners Podcast. We want to interact with you wherever you can find us. And that's going to do it for today's show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.